couple of executives there who believed it could happen, but in fact, when the president made his speech, most employees at the agency had no idea that that's what he was going to do, and they were shocked out of their shoes. And when you look at the technology at the time, you know, they were trying to use pigs to test human spaceflight, and they put the pigs in the space cradle on their back, and the pigs died. And it turned out they couldn't use pigs on their back because the stomach fat suffocated the pig. So that's the level of technology they were at the start of the space program. And it was really, really a miracle, the technology, that they were able to use that kind of technology to go to the moon. It was the incredibly hard work of 400,000 Americans. That's what it took.
Yes, because also at that time, our launches of rockets didn't always go so well. You see sometimes those comical footage where they all sort of blow up on the launch pad or go up and pew, right back down again. So we weren't even sure we could launch anything into orbit at that point.
One of the brilliant inventions of the von Braun team were gimbals at the bottom of his rocket engine, because it was very common for American rockets to crash into their gantry towers, their scaffolding. So he invented a rocket motor, rocket fumes that could slightly tilt at the bottom, and they would tilt them away from the gantry tower.
It's amazing that this is really almost the beginning of, I would say, the modern America. I mean, when we got to the moon, I think people finally felt we had reached some new, some new time in our age. And what do you think in 40 years later, what do you think the impact of that moon landing has had?
Well, it's gone off in so many different directions. First of all, what a lot of people forget is that the Cold War started in a sense of tremendous fear that the Soviets were going to use their mastery of space as a new battlefield to be able to launch weapons against the United States. So at the most primitive level, landing on the moon proved that the United States could defend itself in outer space. Secondly, it dramatically expanded science in every direction possible. The whole reason we live in a technological age today with little tiny beautiful computers you have in your pockets that make phone calls and get on the internet is really because of NASA and the rush to the moon. Thirdly, there was a tremendous fear at that time that politically non-aligned nations might side with the communists over the West, and we would face an ever-growing hostile world. And this moment made America the most admired nation by far. And what that did for the Cold War and what it did as far as our defense needs is incalculable.
And we hear so much, and they give speeches even to this day very often, Buzz Aldrin, some of the other astronauts, Neil Armstrong, I think, is a little more reticent about his experience. But what are some of the people behind the scenes that are not as well known? Is there anyone that stands out that you discovered in the course of researching the book that we should know about?
Well, the one who stands out that we should know about is Lyndon Johnson, who was there at the founding of NASA. He was heading the Senate when it was begun under Eisenhower. He was there when Kennedy made his speech and a primary agent of that happening. And he was there watching the launch of Apollo 11. I think he is really the secret engine behind the race to the moon, and without Johnson, none of this would have happened.
We're talking this morning to Craig Nelson, historian and author of Rocket Men, the epic story of the first men on the moon. And is it true that the flag was almost never planted as Neil Armstrong laid his first footsteps on the moon?
Yes, Armstrong confessed to Alan Bean that the most terrifying moment in the whole mission was trying to plant the flag, because they had no idea what the lunar surface was like before they got there, and they thought it might be very soft and spongy. And anyway, they weren't really sure. But where they landed at Tranquility Base was very rough ground, sort of like a compressed regolith, almost like granite, and they pounded and pounded and pounded away at the flagpole and could barely get it in a couple of inches, and tried to prop it up with dust surrounding it. You could actually see the little pile of dust they tried to make in some of the pictures. It's fantastic, because they were convinced it was going to topple over and humiliate them on television.
Do we know whether it's still standing to this day or not?
We know it is not. It was blown over from the exhaust of the departing rocket.
Oh, they should have given him a little stand.
Exactly.
Hello?
Exactly. However, the NASA's current satellite, the LRO, Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, is going to take pictures of all the Apollo landing sites. So it'll be fantastic to see how that comes out.
And what's with that speech, a small step for mankind?
One small step for a man, I think it was supposed to be.
For a man. What happened then?
Well, Armstrong says that he said one small step for a man, and I grew up in a family of Midwestern drawlers, and I can sort of hear him saying that, but no one else hears this on the tape. So to be good historians, we put the A in parenthesis to show that it was meant, but perhaps not reached on the tape to show its importance.
And so here we are going back to the moon very soon. They're planning on a lunar base and setting that up, within the next 10 years. What do you think that will mean? Do you think that is that the first step toward space flight to other planets and out of our solar system?
Well, people tend to think that because we don't do things like Apollo anymore, NASA and perhaps America has declined. But really, that's a misreading of the history. We had Apollo because it was a Cold War battlefront, and we don't have the Cold War anymore. So we don't have Apollo like we don't have squadrons of helicopters in Vietnam. And so I really think it's going to require that kind of competition before we have another enormous space race. But I do think it's going to happen. It'll either come politically from Russia, China, or India, or it'll come economically, whether the discovery of some kind of mining in outer space or the use of space tourism, I'm not sure. But I really do think in 10 to 15 years, the space race will reignite in one way or another, and we will have a giant mission like this again.
Well, all of those countries that you just mentioned all have plans for the moon, so maybe that's what we'll all fight over next.
Exactly.